Rise and shine, Atlanta. It's 4th of July week. Let's go. Summer is officially underway. All right. This is the morning shift. I am Bo Morgan. I have no accolades, but he has them. He's an All-American, national champion, former Atlanta Falcon. Michael, don't ask him what the P stands for. Johnson, and she is the First Lady of Atlanta baseball, the Queen of Tofu, Miss Allie Mack. And we sprinkle in DJ Vanilla, a man who hosts draft parties, Dallin Matthews.
Mm.
And our forces combined make up the greatest sports talk radio show in this city. From 6 to 9, anyways.
What up, man? Yeah, look, we talked about the I told you on Saturday that this morning I'd let you say, Michael, don't ask me what the P stands for, but petty, because I was being petty about you going to the driver's meeting on Saturday. So, yeah, I was like, you know, go ahead and unleash that on me Monday morning. I was kind of disappointed not to hear you say it this morning. But nonetheless, man, you've got accolades, right?
Of course you have accolades. You've been working for the Falcons Radio Network for how many years now?
Yeah.
I don't know.
You have
an
office here.
I don't get
that's a big deal.
Yeah, we don't have offices around here.
Yeah, you've got an office here, man.
Guys, I'm very humble. So, you know, I don't really think about myself in that way. I just think I'm a regular guy, which I am.
The other accolade you didn't give yourself is that you're a sports radio guru.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Okay, you can quit talking now.
Yeah. I don't even know who introduced that as far as that being in our old intro.
Steve. I think Steve just doing there. He's
sports
like, well,
radio guru, Bo Morgan. You're like, what?
I was like,
that's an interesting
tell
title.
Tell me you're making up name. Tell me you're making up things to say about me without telling me. You're like, I don't know anything about he's a guru.
That would be, you know what? That would be funny if that was Allie's lead in now. Atlanta radio guru, Allie Mack.
You're like, I would proudly take that. I would be happy to be the radio
There's
guru
your accolade,
on the show.
My friend.
I think a guru is someone that maybe you know, like, you know, I think Aaron Rodgers thinks he's a guru. Okay, I don't want to be lumped in with that.
He thinks he's a medicine man or some sort.
Hey, that movie was on.
Definitely doesn't
last
think of himself
night.
As a quarterback. I guess it is what it is.
Yeah.
Well, we do have to talk about a certain quarterback a little bit later in the show. 6:20 today, we are going to talk about someone ranking Michael Penix Jr. at the bottom of the NFC South quarterbacks. We got to talk about that. We're also going to talk about Braves in a moment. But first, there was so much happening over the weekend. I'm not surprised, Bo, that you forgot to call him Michael Petty Johnson today.
Well, here's the deal. First off, we just came from NASCAR, as you are alluding to. I'm not going to throw the name Petty in with Mike's name, okay? Because he's thinking it as a petty, like, oh, I'm the petty guy.
Yeah.
But when I hear Petty weekend, I'm like, you ain't no king.
Yeah,
you ain't even a king.
You ain't even
Kyle Petty, son.
Fair enough.
I mean, might have won as many races as him. Oh, that's rude. I shouldn't have said that.
Yeah. What a weekend, though. What a Saturday. Obviously, with it being a Saturday night race. And here's what I want to ask you first, because I think this was really cool. I haven't heard a crowd roar in person at a NASCAR race the way I did Saturday night when Chase Elliott made a pass for the lead there on the last lap. Obviously, a Georgia kid. We talked about him a bunch over the weekend. I've been to a lot of NASCAR races.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't heard a roar from a crowd, like audibly through my headset like that, ever in any NASCAR race I've ever been to. It was insane.
I remember one that had a good roar, and that was when Junior won Talladega again for the last time in 15.
Yep.
And if you've ever been to Talladega, it's Earnhardt Country, or it was when the Earnharts went racing, right? It's Earnhardt Country. It's what we called it. And him and his dad were absolutely dominant there.
Yeah, they were.
And that was similar. Now, that was a long time ago, so it's, you know, in a lot of beers at NASCAR races ago, including both of those. But you're right. It was an amazing first off, let's get to the first part of it. It was an amazing crowd.
Amazing.
Saturday night
amazing.
Is probably the best crowd I've seen in Atlanta since early on in going to races.
Yeah.
And that was when there was turns 3 and 4 grandstand as well.
Yeah, and again, shout out to Brendan Hutchinson and his team down there at the Echo Park Speedway for just absolutely knocking out of the park. Everything from the dignitaries to the pre-race to the fireworks show afterwards to the actual product on track to the atmosphere, It was the place to be, obviously. And we actually heard from a lot of listeners during the pre-race show on Saturday. And obviously going back through some of the interviews and people we've been able to talk to over the last couple of weeks, we heard from a lot of people that were so stoked either to be down there or wanted to meet up or where you guys set up and this, that, and the other. That was really, really cool, man. That's not something it just seems like this track is starting to gain the steam that's necessary because it puts on such a good product and people are starting to notice. And definitely that place is alive and well, man, when it comes to the actual action.
So we had two first-timers in our group. One of the guys, first time ever in a NASCAR race. Mm-hmm. One of the guys had not been to Atlanta since the reconfiguration.
Yeah.
Okay? So my buddy Brent had never been to a race, never done any of that, and he was like, dude, he was like, that was so awesome. He's like, I definitely want to go back, want to do it again. I loved it. He got to go down on pit road before because Tyler and Dustin hooked us up with the track pass stuff, and he was like, I could not believe, like, how, like, I'm bumping into NASCAR drivers and pit crew guys walking through there. And I talked to my buddy Gardner, who hadn't been since the reconfiguration. Him and I used to go to races at Atlanta all the time.
Yep.
We've been to Daytona together, Talladegas, but he hadn't been since reconfiguration with family and everything. I talked to him yesterday after we'd all left, and he goes, dude, I was thinking back and how just great that racing was. And look, I know there was a big wreck and everything, but the racing was so good. The last 50 laps, now the whole race is very action-packed, but I go back to, like, I think it was like 55 laps that came out of a caution. And from that moment on, they stretched out a little bit single file at the front, and it was just pass. Like, they were passing constantly. It was so intense.
It was so cool. And I do want to mention, too, because I mentioned this on the show Saturday, Corey Heim won the race, the truck race up at Lime Rock Park on Saturday, which was not at Echo Park Speedway, and he's from Kennesaw Mountain. And so to have two Georgia guys win on Saturday in NASCAR, I thought that was really, really cool, reflected in the way the crowd was reacting.
That feels kind of written in the stars. Mike, I'm going to go ahead and apologize to you because I have to ask this question to Bo, because people want to know, since everyone knows you were going to the driver's meeting before the race on Saturday, Bo, how was that?
Well, it was fun. It was a little less climatic than I can't say words today than I had expected, because there was a lightning issue at the track, and they call it a hold, and because of that, not all drivers were it was mandatory for them to go. However, three drivers did. I think it was Ryan Preece.
Yeah, Ryan Preece was there.
Ryan Preece shows up. Joey Logano and Chase Elliott, and now Chase did a pretty cool thing. He both Logano and Chase had guests there, and Chase's were from Choa.
Yeah, designed his car,
and then
Ray Lynn, I think her name was.
Yeah, and then Logano's was a group that did some charity work under him with young children as well, and so they showed up. So but it was cool being in there, hearing, you know, just kind of some of the things they go through. So, yeah, it was a cool thing nonetheless. But, yeah, I will definitely make my way back into another driver's meeting.
Nice.
Well, and also, Takiyo Spikes is there.
Warwick Dunn was there.
Just a number of other dignitaries. There was a bunch of AEW wrestlers that were in the house for that whole thing. So, yeah, I mean, it was really, really interesting to see some of the names that were flying around pit road. I actually, after we got done with the show, which was about 7 o'clock, I'm walking towards the seats. We actually passed Joe Gibbs. Who owns Joe Gibbs Racing. But anybody who knows anything about football and NASCAR, Joe Gibbs is a Hall of Famer in the NFL and NASCAR. He's kind of a guy that I don't even know. My idol would be one thing, but I don't necessarily want to do his job, but he's definitely like a spirit animal. I mean, that guy has done everything in both sports, obviously Super Bowl winning head coach, and then turns his attention to NASCAR and championship winning NASCAR owner. It's been nuts. So to pass him on pit road, I was starstruck for a minute. I was like, oh my God, that's Joe Gibbs.
Yeah, you turned around and looked at me like,
what?
We made
the
face,
and that was Joe Gibbs.
And I just looked down at Coach.
Yeah, Coach.
I love that. Well, we have so much to cover regarding NASCAR and the Quaker State 400 over the weekend. Massive shout out to Campers Inn as well for the accommodations. I'm glad we waited till the very end. We only have about a minute to talk about this, guys. The Braves over the weekend. They did lose the series, took 1-3 against the Phillies. Yesterday, they lost 2-1. By the way, though, our new Hawk, Asa Newell, was in the crowd yesterday, so it was good to see him rooting on our hometown teams. But I think the big point of contention for the Braves over the weekend was Friday's game. After a rain delay, they lost 13-0. Maybe this is a hot take, but I'm saying this is not Bryce Elder's fault. The Phillies pulled their pitcher. We didn't have another option for a pitcher after Bryce had gotten hot, had to sit down for an hour, and then get back out there. I just don't think that was fair to him.
Yeah. I agree with you, actually. It's not, and it wasn't. However, if any of the Braves starters right now, I think, would be up for it, would be Elder, because he's not a – because he is a – because of his style of pitching.
Yeah, I agree.
Now, that said – you know, the mental side of that and affecting, and then he needs to be pinpoint with his location and his mindset. So maybe I'm wrong on that, but I just feel like because of the way he throws, maybe he'd be set up. But you're right, it's not fair.
Well, and I will say this too, early on, I saw him not get some strike calls at the bottom of the zone, mm-hmm. which as a guy who pitches the way he does, that's something, if he gets scared out of being able to throw low and has to try to ease things back into the zone and starts getting balls up, he's going to get tattooed the way he did. So I'm with you. I mean, I'm not relieving the guy of any blame in terms of what happened on the field. But there's a number of things. And we talked about Bryce Elder. Everything kind of has to go right for him.
Mm-hmm.
He's not one of those guys that's going to throw 100 miles an hour. So to your point, it's one of those things that they didn't really go right for him on Friday.
The thing, though, for me is that you got 14 innings and I think 3 runs given up from your 2 best pitchers now and that are healthy in the rotation, and you could only win one of those games. That, to me, is what I look back on, and it's like all the Elder debacle aside, you still couldn't score runs when you needed to win games.
Yeah, there is a lot to dissect with the series, which we're going to continue to do throughout the show. But coming up next, nobody puts Michael Penix Jr. at the bottom, but unfortunately, someone did, so we got to talk about this, and that's coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the morning shift with Mike, Bo, Ali Mack, and Dylan at 6:23. Thanks for spending your Monday morning with us. There's so much going on over the weekend. I will say, when I pulled into Colony Square this morning, for half a second, when I didn't see either of y'all's trucks, I was like, am I in the wrong spot? Because there's so much going on.
You were here early, though.
I was here early, but I thought for a second, I was like, there's so much going on, I might be at the wrong location.
Right, yeah.
And then I saw Dylan's car, and I knew everything was fine.
Well,
yeah.
That's not necessarily true.
Let the black duct tape bring you comfort, Alan.
That's not duct tape. That's electrical tape. You have replaced the duct tape with electrical tape now. But what's funny is Mike's got a point. When I look at Dylan's car, I do not think everything is all right. Other than the fact that at least I know Dylan woke up.
And also, just because Dylan is here doesn't mean we're supposed to be
doesn't
here.
Doesn't mean I'm in the right spot. Yeah. Yes,
that is true.
Yeah. That is very true.
You know what's funny is I know we got to get to this list, but I had my first experience coming home from a trip to where normally I just want to come home and like, oh, I'm going to, hey, Amy, let's just watch TV on the couch or whatever.
Now there's a newborn.
And just like going right into, I can't sit down. Literally for the first time. And because I got home and I knew she'd been home alone for like 3 nights
mm-hmm.
with Pork Chop. And so I got home and I was like, where's she at? I just put her down. I said, okay, well, I'm going to cut the grass. I'm going to unload the truck.
Look at you.
Then I'm going to cut the grass. And then Amy was like, you want to do brunch with the neighbors? It was one of our waitresses at the club's last day. And she was like one of the better waitresses mm-hmm. up there. And she went there for like 2 or 3 years. And so I was like, hey, whatever you want to do. I'm just, you know what? You've been alone. Whatever you want to do. And by the end of the day, I think I texted Mike at like, what was it, like 7 o'clock? And I was like,
yeah, it was late.
I was like, dude, I just sat down for the first time today.
My curiosity around that, and like you said, we're going to get Michael Penix. My curiosity around that is, do you think you got busy because you overwhelmingly felt like I have a lot to do? Or was it because if I don't get busy doing chores and things, that my wife is going to judge me because I've been gone for 3 days to a NASCAR race?
It was a combination of not really of those, but not like – the grass needed to be cut. In fact, I needed to cut it before I left, but it was stormy, you know, mm-hmm. like the day before I left. It was storm that day when I went down to the track. And time became an issue. But it was also like I wanted to show her like, hey, I know I've been gone. you need a break now. So let me help. Like, I want to be there and like help you out. So it was like a combination of, I needed to do things, but also I wanted to come back and be like, I'm not going to just come back and then make you feel like you still got to do it all.
Well, good for you. I mean, you kind of had an excuse to take a nap, but you didn't. So good for you.
I even put Red Bull in my vodka yesterday at the club.
We do have to move on to this article from NFL.com. Nick Shook, he wrote this ranking the quarterbacks by division. And when it came to the NFC South, he ranked Michael Penix Jr. last. So above him was Tyler Shuck, Bryce Young, and Baker Mayfield. How are you two feeling about this ranking?
Well, this guy's a hack. First and foremost.
I was going to be like, well, there's some caveat to that conversation. Now Bo just went ahead and ripped the Band-Aid off.
I want to give credit because I was listening yesterday while I was cutting the grass to Fricky. And Fricky mentioned this article, and I was like, I've got to go pull this article up. So I pulled this article up and got so mad about it that I told Mike, we got to talk about this. I told y'all, I want to talk about this. And then you come in and you're like, what are y'all talking about? I'm like, this guy's a hack.
Yeah.
Like, I'm mad. There is a caveat to the ranking where somehow Derek Carr rolls into this ranking. I'm not sure in any world where what the Saints had at the end of last year with Derek Carr in there and now Tyler Shuck is higher than a combination of Cousins and Penix.
Well, again, the thing is, the caveat of the conversation is this guy basically said on average in his quarterback rankings, incoming rookies on average have been ranked 29th.
Mm-hmm.
So he just went ahead and put all the incoming rookies as a 29 ranking in his rankings. And what he did is he compared that with the incoming rookies who have not played yet to what his end of season rankings were for all 59 starting quarterbacks a year ago. So you're talking about anybody from Jake Haener to Desmond Ridder to Michael Penix are all ranked 1 through 59. Michael Penix fell in there at number 30 for him. So, like I said, there's a little caveat to the conversation where as Tyler Shuck is 29 and Michael Penix is 30. Now, with that being said, and the guy does a decent job of explaining himself, there is no explanation for having put Michael Penix behind. It's a faulty and flawed article in a way of looking at things to even think that is possible in the way you should rank them and then using those rankings in order to put the divisions in order.
Not only that, but last year did this, he had Caleb Williams at 20 at 28, Bo Nix at 29, and Jaden Daniels at 30.
Yeah.
And he's got Michael, and you had not even seen those guys play, right? They didn't even touch the field.
Right.
And you put the formula. I think the biggest problem I have to me is the arrogance with how he writes. And for the record, I have a Bryce Young guy. I've always liked Bryce Young. You're actually probably more of the Bryce Young. If there was going to be a hater on the show, you would be more of the hater than me.
Yeah, I'm definitely more critical of him and always have been since the draft when he got taken first overall.
Yeah. And I thought Bryce Young was great from weeks 8 to 18 based on what the rest of his career has been. All that said, though, he still only completed 61% of his passes with for 2,100 yards and 15 touchdowns, 6 picks from week 8 to 18. Now, his numbers for the season do look different, but that span. But he says, those who didn't watch the Panthers in 2024 would scoff at how I view Young. But real ball knowers understand Young achieved plenty
right, yeah.
when the odds were stacked against him and can't wait to see how he builds on the success in 2025. Now, I don't know about the odds stacked against him, but for some of what he was playing with, I do think it was growth. And I am interested, I don't want to excited, but interested to see how he progresses. But you just lumped yourself in as a random dude who writes for the NFL as a real ball knower. I'm not saying I'm a real ball knower either, by the way.
Dang.
But I don't necessarily lump myself in to say, I've never said to say, well, a real ball knower will understand what I'm saying.
Well, and let me just throw this out there, too. We talk about Bryce Young being in his postseason rankings last year at 16 and that carrying over to the division rankings in terms of what we expect. How about the people right after Bryce Young in his rankings? Kyler Murray at 17, Tua at 18, Dak Prescott at 19, Bo Nix at 20, and Drake May at 21. Aaron Rodgers at 22, which is probably fair, but it's just crazy. Like, I'm just looking at it going, no. And I get it, man. There's an upward trajectory around Bryce Young. Let's not forget the fact that the guy was benched. Let's not forget some of the struggles that were had at times. And they're still continuing to put pieces around him over in Carolina. Obviously, a year ago, they remade that offensive line. They hit a couple home runs, honestly, in terms of the way they signed free agents at the guard spot. Obviously, a couple years in a row, they've drafted first-round wide receivers. They continue to try to put pieces in place to be able to help him out. And maybe they can, maybe they won't. I still, no matter any metric, I don't know why we look at 16 and think that's where Bryce Young belongs when you look at all the other pieces around him.
Well, I mean, I'm looking at some other guys, and he's got J.J. McCarthy at 29. Okay. I know that you have Sam Darnold in that ranking as well, but 29 for, like, J.J. McCarthy's never taken a snap in a real NFL game. And he's coming off
of earlier, that's why he's ranked at 29. That's what I think the guy is trying to say. Anybody who hasn't thrown a pass in the NFL, he's ranked him at 29.
But how is Michael Penix worse? How is Michael Penix at 30 when he is we've seen him light NFL defenses up? Like, that's where you lose me.
It's a flawed metric if you're going to write an article about quarterback rankings. It just is. I mean, there's no other way to go about it. I'm gonna use last year's rankings 1 through 59 as starting quarterbacks, but if you've never thrown a pass, I'm gonna put you at 29.
Mm-hmm.
What? That makes absolutely no sense.
Wouldn't you be at like 50?
Yeah, I mean, like,
NA, like not applicable.
Right,
take them out for now.
And again, that you're going to use that because the actual article is about the divisions and everything. And the NFC South ranking 7th out of the 8 divisions. The only one worse in here was the AFC South, which includes obviously, Cam Ward at 29,
which makes no sense.
Anthony Richardson and Daniel Jones at 35 and 36, and CJ Stroud and Trevor Lawrence in that division. So. Yeah.
Can we talk about that part? Justin Fields is 27 for whatever it's worth, which I don't have. I don't know if I agree or disagree. But how is Anthony Richardson 35? Has this guy watched Anthony Richardson play? how is Michael Penix only 5 spots better than it? Because Anthony Richardson is, I mean, there's a lot to take in right there, but he's not very good right now.
For what it's worth, can I give you a Kirk Cousins ranking in his 1 through 59?
Yeah.
I think it's right
here. I know
what
it is.
It's 25, I believe.
Yeah.
Yep, 25.
Well,
so there you go. End of the season rankings. You got Cousins at 25 and Penix at 30. That's where I'm getting off the boat. There were some good things. There were some bad things. But come on, man.
I just think this is another one of these. I'm the smartest guy in the room. I don't know much about the position. And so I want to come up with some. This is why I don't like the name guru, the term guru, because this guy probably considers himself a quarterback guru. He's never played the position, doesn't know anything about it, and he's like, "Well, I have a formula that
he's a ball knower, dude." I mean, he said it there himself. Real ball knowers, they know.
He's a real ball knower.
They know what Bryce Young, 16th. There you go.
And later on in the show, we actually have some more Michael Penix news that we got to share. That's going to be coming up at 7:40. But next. You were calling for it. It happened. Michael Harris had a few days off. We'll get into more of the frustrating Braves weekend. And we've got my Allie Mac drop. I'm about to open up a whole new musical world for the cool parents out there. That is next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app.
It is the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I'm Allie Mack. That's Mike Johnson. And Bo Squidbilly Morgan is across from me. And Dylan is behind the glass. About to be my DJ in my Allie Mack drop coming up in a few minutes.
Oh, wow. Speaking of which, who's got the top 5 tomorrow? Who are we on? Is it Bo?
That was my question driving in today because Bo jumped in front of me.
Yeah,
I was about to say, it's either Bo or Allie.
I'm going to yield back to Allie this week.
And I had a feeling he would do that.
In her rotational spot. I'm not.
You're like, no thanks this week.
I mean, unless you really
still
want me to
knocking out some cobwebs.
I had a feeling that would happen, so I've already thought it up, and I think I have 3 of the 5 ready to go.
There you go.
Because I knew
That's
it was going to happen.
That's
I knew it was going to happen. Well, make sure to take us wherever you go today. You can use the Odyssey app to stream the show and Sports Radio 92.9 The Game all day. And, guys, we only got to talk about the Braves for about 90 seconds earlier, so didn't really get to broach everything that happened Friday. Was just a disaster at Truist. That rain delay, I'm sure, was miserable for everyone. Braves lost to the Phillies 13-0. Now they did take Saturday 6-1, but yesterday solidified that they lost the series with a 2-1 loss. And Michael Harris, He was given a few days off. Everybody had been calling for it. The they on Twitter, as we like to call them.
I was calling for it.
Charlie Culberson called
for it. I'll be part of they.
Well, I'll be part of it. For it. Charlie called for it. Let me rephrase that. Charlie said that he thought that would be, when he joined us the other day, that would be
beneficial.
Something, yeah, that could help him. I was, Mike and I, Allie, during a once, I don't know when it was, sometime like Saturday, we talked about, hey, it was one night, because when that's when that story kind of broke that he was out of the lineup, and I thought that he would be back. And Mike was like, I think he's going to miss tomorrow, too. Mike nailed it. I give him credit. You know, because he deserves it when because he rarely gets things, you know, spot on like I normally do, but he doesn't. So
sure.
No, in all fairness, Mike nailed that, and I was like, man, I was surprised yesterday when I looked up and he was not in the lineup.
Well, and Ranger Suarez obviously being a big part of that. When you talk about two left-handed starters going against Michael Harris over the weekend, you don't necessarily want to see that. And then you add in the off day Monday. It's just a perfect spot, I think, to give him kind of a mental reset and give him 3 days off. The unfortunate part, Allie, is that Eli White didn't look that much better than Michael Harris. And I think we all kind of expected that, but it's just something. It's something to try to kickstart the way Michael Harris has been, because it's looked worse and worse. It's not like that we have any evidence that it might be turned around at any point. Eli White gets plugged in. I think he goes, 0-for-7 maybe in those 2 days. It was not very good. But like I said, I think we were kind of hoping for anything, and that's on the eve of, you know, welcoming back Yerkson Profar. So a lot of questions to be had about the way that outfield will look.
It was a little bit ironic, though, that Saturday night Michael Harris did get to catch the winning catch of the game.
Yeah.
He ended that game. But yeah, hopefully this time off, like Charlie Culberson was saying, sometimes you just need a day or two just to get your mind right. So hopefully this can benefit him.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt. And also the other side of that is Stuart Fairchild had a hit, I believe, on Saturday because he was playing left field. So it's just a frustrating series, to say the least, to try to recap. And one of the stats that I pulled out of this weekend, they had 7 extra base hits over the course of the series. 6 of those were from Sean Murphy and Stuart Fairchild. The other one from Matt Olson, I believe the ground rule double. 7 extra base hits, 3 people.
I know you want to get into some numbers.
Yeah.
I think you have more than me. I have one thing I want to touch on before. Ronald Acuña has been phenomenal since he's came back, right? His last 5 games, he's only 3-for-15 with 4 base on balls and 7 Ks in that time span. He's hitting 1. Matt Olson has been hitting 2. He's 7-for-21 in that span. The number that stands out to me, though, is that he has 0 RBIs in that 2-hole.
Yeah.
With 7 hits. The reason that's a big deal is because we need Ronnie to get on, because our hottest player other than him is Olson. I know Sean Murphy had 2 home runs over the weekend, but I'm talking about in a stretch. The Braves are 1-4 in that span. Okay? So the fact that it's basically the 7-6 record in that 13 game span, a lot of that was because of Acuña.
Yeah,
and Olson and some good pitching, but they're doing things, right?
I'm glad you brought up, because I do have numbers that I've been kind of looking at all morning and yesterday, really, throughout the series. And even though we've been down at Echo Park Speedway all weekend, it's like kind of keeping track of what's going on and watching the Braves and just being so frustrated. And I wondered over the last 10 games what the outfield is hitting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even with Ronald Acuña included in that, you mentioned the last 5 games. I went all the way back to the last 10. The outfield's hitting .203. The entire outfield, whoever's out there right now, Eli White, Michael Harris, Alex Verdugo, Stuart Fairchild, Ronald Acuña, they're hitting .203 in the last 10 games.
How is that possible, since Ronnie probably is hitting, like, I think he's hitting like .369 as a player since he's come back?
Yeah.
That's how average is.
All right, let me go a little bit deeper then for you. Left field in June hit .204, and center fielders in June, because you can include now Eli White in that, hit .144.
I'm surprised it's that high.
144, Michael Harris being 148 in June. Actually, Nick Allen hit .240 in June, which was interesting to me. But to your point about Matt Olson, he's carrying the flag here. .313 in the month of June, albeit with 3 home runs. It seems like the power has kind of tailed off since that heater he did go on earlier. But Marcelo Zuna, .188. Ozzy Albies, .198. These are June statistics. Mm-hmm. These are not last 10 games or the series with the Phillies. These are a whole month of what we're thinking, you know, and I went on this tirade a month ago. You need to think about what you can do with Marcelo Zuna in a contract year. Not right now.
Well, that's
I don't think anybody's in a hurry to try to bum him off of you right now.
What's right field hitting month of June?
That's probably the one stat I don't have.
Well, I thought
because,
you...
Because Ronnie's played all
I know. Right? And I apologize. Yeah. I wasn't trying to throw you under the bus. I'll put you on the spot. I just was curious what he is hitting in June. He's hitting 369 since he came back. This is why every time someone tells me, well, I think it's clear they need to be sellers. Who are you selling? Well, go get Celazuna. For what? He's a... expiring contract with a injury, and he's not really lighting the cover off the ball right now. He's not really just tearing that thing up. So yeah. I don't know. Well, then I'd look at moving Olsen or Riley. So you're going to move two guys that are top five at their position who are under extremely team friendly deals, and then say because you want to rebuild the farm system. Now you're tearing your team apart. So, yeah. No.
Well, and we always have the conversation. And like I said, I have to look into it. I think Nacho Alvarez had a hiccup last week. There was another injury with him. So there's really, I mean, you can talk about moving pieces all you want to. The bottom line is, and it's probably something not talked about enough on this show, when you talk about these team-friendly long-term deals that you sign, there's also the opportunity that they go south. And that's what you're looking at right now with Michael Harris. And I know that he's a talented player. He will eventually find it again. But we talked about 2 years ago when 2023 was so magical. Man, not only is it magical, but you got these guys all under contract until like 2030. Well, if that goes south the way it has over the last couple of years, and you start running into hiccups the way you have with some of these players, now all of a sudden you're like, what do we do with Michael Harris for the next 5 years, the next 4 years, whatever it may be? And you got to figure, he's got to figure something out, or this team is going to be looking at a black hole right there.
The good deal is the AAV being like, I think it's like 10 or 12 a year for him. That's what, but that's why Spencer Strider starting to return to form. He was really good yesterday.
Yeah.
Without a ton of strikeouts and without his fastball being really as good as it's been. I think a lot of his swing and misses were on his slider yesterday. But that's why him returning to form the way he does has been huge for me. That's why Spencer Schwellenbach literally being the ace of this team right now for the money he's not making, which he will once he starts hitting arbitration, is so big.
Well, they do get the day off today before the Angels come to town, and I'm about to do the most non-parent thing that us non-parents do. That's give parents some advice.
Yes!
So, Mike, you've been telling us for a few weeks now about the music that your son has been loving with Kids Bop.
Kids Bop, man. Oh, it's just brutal.
So, today is Motivation Monday. I decided to focus on an artist that is designed for children and really cool parents. Have you heard of Lenny Pierce?
I would love to say yes, but I'd be lying if I said yes.
I really hope you haven't, because I want to teach you about
it. I'm I haven't.
Well,
I haven't.
I want you and Bo to learn all about Lenny Pierce, because this is the coolest thing. He is an Australian performer. You might know his twin brother, who is the purple wiggle of the Wiggles. And so it runs in the family. Lenny is a DJ and producer and has been uploading music to SoundCloud. Really wasn't getting anywhere until he finally had a song take off. It might sound a little bit familiar.
No, yes.
Yes, that is head, shoulder, knees, and toes.
I got my fingers on
Wait
my ear right now.
Wait for the beat
right
to drop.
You know what I mean? Just the left hand. Wait till the beat drops. Right now I'm at Bonnaroo. You know what I mean? Right now,
I mean, this
baby
is amazing.
Bonnaroo.
So Lenny has found his niche, and it is baby raves and toddler techno.
Yeah.
He also has the hit Humpty Dumpty. We've got a sample of it. We got to keep the vibe going, Dylan.
Yeah, this is incredible. Yeah.
I do not want my kid listening to this.
No?
I don't want him to be a...
Oh, you're such a
EDM
downer.
Guys.
Yeah, you know, your kid ain't know what EDM is. He just hears music.
Okay, you know
It's better. It's better than realizing what the real words are to APT. You know what I mean?
I know. By the way, your wife is a big Bravo fan.
Yes, she is.
Stassi Lord Schroeder and her daughter were listening to Appetit.
Yeah.
They put it on social media.
Really?
And I thought, oh my gosh, Lindsay would love to know that.
Crazy.
You guys are like simpatico.
What's the chick's name? Oh, snap.
No, I like this.
I do know the Muffin Man. I do.
Now, of course, we have Disney parents and people who, you know, might not like EDM as much. So you want some classics in there. Kids that love Frozen will love this one. Here we go.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, dude.
So, and
put
I know
this
you're
guy at Disney World and call it
oh
a day.
Gosh, I know. I know you're already wondering. So I've done the research for you. Lenny is coming to Atlanta.
No.
Yes.
Yes.
I literally just saw that.
Lenny.
And Kids Bop was just here.
I know.
Kids Bop was just here over the weekend.
Ago.
Man, shout out to anybody who took their kid to Kids Bop. My son would have been losing his mind in Kids Bop.
Lenny is holding a baby rave right here in Atlanta. That is happening.
Yes, it's incredible.
October 26th. It is a Saturday, 2 p.m., so you can chug a few chocolate milks.
Okay, yes.
And then head home and call it a day.
Yeah.
So it sounds like the guy from the Wiggles is his twin brother.
Yes, yes.
I knew you said brother, but like twin bro. I didn't know
twin brother.
Yeah, they don't. I didn't think they looked alike. Like the picture of that comes up when Lenny, you Google him. And the picture that comes up with the Wiggles, they don't look alike. But then there's another picture where they look like identical twins. I'm like, oh, wow, it's creepy.
I'm texting my wife right now.
Are you? Like, yo, so you're
mark
into
the calendar,
this.
150%.
You have to check
not
out.
Not even close.
I have a sizzle reel of what these baby raves are like. I need to borrow someone's child so I can go.
Yeah.
I want to see.
I got a spare.
I mean, it looks amazing.
I got an extra if you want.
That's my type of rave right there.
Yeah,
I would love to go to.
My kids are going to lose their mind.
I wonder what the refreshment stands look like.
No, animal crackers, goldfish.
Dude, I'm going to tell you something. You know. I can destroy some animal crackers.
Sounds like you guys have like a double date with your kids October 26th.
I actually can't wait till Pork Chop starts eating animal crackers because I'm just going
to. You can steal them all.
Oh, yeah. Remember the box they used to come in?
Yeah,
of
dude.
Course. Absolutely. Of course. Well, you can check out the sizzle reel of Lenny Pierce online at 929 Morning Shift on Twitter if you want to check it out. And coming up next, we are going to dive back into the Michael Penix conversation. Should he have been ranked last in the NFC South? That is next on Sports Radio 929 The Game and
Odyssey app.